Under Milk Wood by Dylan Thomas.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black, the cobble streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow-black fishing boat bobbing sea. The houses are blind as moles, though moles see fine tonight in the snouting velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. Hush! The babies are sleeping. The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobbler, schoolteacher, postman and publican, the undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman, the webfoot, cockle women, and the tidy wives. Young girls lie bedded soft or glide in their dreams with rings and trousseaus, brides mated by glowworms down the aisles of the organ-playing wood. The boys are dreaming wicked, or of the bucking ranches of the night and the jolly rogered sea. And the anthracite statues of the horses sleep in the fields, and the cows in the byres, and the dogs in the wet-nosed yards, and the cats nap in the slant corners, or lope, sly, streaking and needling on the one cloud of the roofs. You can hear the dew falling, and the hushed town breathing. Only your eyes are unclosed to see the black and folded town fast and slow asleep. And you alone can hear the invisible starfall, the darkest before dawn minutely dew-gray stir of the black, dab-filled sea, where the Arethusa, the Curlew, the Skylark, Zanzibar, Rhiannon, the Rover, the Cormorant, and the Star of Wales tilt and ride. Listen. It is night, moving in the streets, the processional salt, slow musical wind in Coronation Street and Cockle Row. It is the grass growing on Claregib Hill, dewfall, starfall, the sleep of birds in Milk Wood. Listen. It is night in the chill, squat chapel, hymning in bonnet and brooch and bombazine black, butterfly choker and bootlace bow, coughing like nanny goats, sucking mintos, 40 winking hallelujah. Night in the four ale, quiet as a domino, in Ocky Milkman's lofts, like a mouse with gloves, in Dye Bread's bakery, flying like black flour. It is tonight in Donkey Street, trotting silent with seaweed on its hooves, along the cockled cobbles, past curtained fern pot, text and trinket, harmonium, holy dresser, watercolours done by hand, china dog and rosy tin tea caddy. It is night neddying among the snuggeries of babies. Look, it is night dumbly, royally winding through the coronation cherry trees, going through the graveyard of Bethesda with winds gloved and folded and dew-doffed, tumbling by the sailor's arms. Time passes. Listen. Time passes. Come closer now. Only you can hear the houses sleeping in the streets in the slow, deep, salt and silent, black, bandaged night. Only you can see in the blinded bedrooms the combs and petticoats over the chairs, the jugs and basins, the glasses of teeth, thou shalt not on the wall, and the yellowing dicky bird watching pictures of the dead. Only you can hear and see behind the eyes of the sleepers the movements and countries and mazes and colours and dismays and rainbows and tunes and wishes and flight and fall and despairs and big seas of their dreams. From where you are, you can hear their dreams. Captain Cat, the retired blind sea captain, asleep in his bunk in the sea-shelled ship-in-bottle ship-shaped best cabin of schooner house, dreams of...
Never such seas as any that swamped the decks of his SS Kidwelly bellying over the bedclothes and jellyfish slippery, sucking him down salt deep into the Davy Dark, where the fish come biting out and nibble him down to his wishbone, and the long drowned nuzzle up to him.
Remember me, Captain?
You're dancing, Williams.
I lost my step in Nantucket.
Do you see me, Captain, the white born talking? I'm Tom Fred, the donkey man. We shared the same girl once. Her name was Mrs. Probert.
Rosie Probert, 33 Duck Lane. Come on up, boys. I'm dead.
Hold me, Captain. I'm Jonah Jarvis, come to a bad end. Very enjoyable.
Alfred Pomeroy Jones, sea lawyer. Born in mumbles, sung like a linnet, crowned you with a flagon, tattooed with mermaids, thirst like a dredger, died of blisters.
This skull at your ear all is?
Curly Bevan, tell my auntie it was me that pawned the Ormolu clock.
Aye, aye, Curly.
Tell my missus, no, I never.
I never done what she said, I never.
Yes, they did.
And who brings coconuts and shawls and parrots to my Gwen now?
How's it above?
Is there rum and lava bread?
Bosoms and robins?
Concertinas?
Ebenezer's bell?
Fighting and onions?
And sparrows and daisies?
Tiddlers in a jam jar?
Buttermilk and whippets?
Rockabye baby?
Washing on the line?
And old girls in the snug?
How's the tenors in Dowlais?
Who milks the cows in my squin?
When she smiles, is there dimples?
What's the smell of parsley?
Oh, my dead dear.
From where you are, you can hear in Cockle Row in the spring moonless night, Miss Price, dressmaker and sweet shopkeeper, dream of
her lover. Tall as the town clock tower, Samson syrup gold-maned, whacking-thighed and piping hot, thunderbolt-braced and barnacle-breasted, flailing up the cockles with his eyes like blow-lamps, and scooping low over her lonely, loving, hot water bottle body.
Avonoy Price.
Mr. Morg Edward.
I am a draper mad with love. I love you more than all the flannelette and calico, candlewick, dimity, crash and merino, tussor, creton, crepon, muslin, poplin, ticking and twill in the whole cloth hall of the world. I have come to take you away to my emporium on the hill, where the change hums on wires. Throw away your little Welsh bedsocks and your Welsh wool knitted jacket. I will warm the sheets like an electric toaster. I will lie by your side like the Sunday roast.
I will knit you a wallet of forget-me-not blue for the money to be comfy. I will warm your heart by the fire, so that you can slip it in under your vest when the shop is closed.
Mavannoy, Mavannoy, before the mice gnaw at your bottom drawer, will you say...
Yes, Mog, yes, Mog, yes, yes, yes.
And all the bells of the tills of the town shall ring for our wedding.
Come now. Drift up the dark. Come up the drifting sea-dark street now in the dark night, seesawing like the sea. To the Bible-black airless attic over Jack Black the cobbler shop, where alone and savagely Jack Black sleeps in a nightshirt tied to his ankles with elastic and dreams of...
Chasing the naughty couples down the grass-green gooseberry double bed of the wood, flogging the tosspots in the spit and sawdust, driving out the bare, bold girls from the sixpenny hops of his nightmares.
Ach, Harry! Ach, Harry!
Evans the Death, the Undertaker,
laughs high and aloud in his sleep, and curls up his toes as he sees, upon waking 50 years ago, snow lie deep on the goose field behind the sleeping house. And he runs out into the field where his mother is making Welsh cakes in the snow, and steals a fistful of snowflakes and currants, and climbs back to bed to eat them, cold and sweet, under the warm white clothes. while his mother dances in the snow kitchen, crying out for her lost currants.
And in the little pink-eyed cottage next to the undertaker's lie, alone, the 17 snoring gentle stone of Mr. Waldo. Rabbit catcher, barber, herbalist, cat doctor, quack, his fat pink hands palms up over the edge of the patchwork quilt, his black boots neat and tidy in the washing basin, his bowler on a nail above the bed, a milk stout and a slice of cold bread pudding under the pillow, and dripping in the dark, he dreams of...
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. And this little piggy went...
Wee, 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 wee.
All the way home to...
Waldo! Waldo!
Yes, Bloodwind, love?
Oh, what'll the neighbors say? What'll the neighbors?
Poor Mrs. Waldo.
What she puts up with.
Never should have married.
If she didn't have to.
Same as her mother.
There's a husband for you.
Bad as his father.
And you know where he ended?
Up in the asylum.
Crying for his ma.
Every Saturday.
He hasn't got a leg.
And carrying on.
With that Mrs. Beatty Morris.
Up in the quarry.
And seen her baby?
It's got his nose.
Oh, it makes my heart bleed.
What he'll do for drink?
He sold the pianola.
And a sewing machine.
Falling in the gutter.
Talking to the lamppost.
Using language.
Singing in the W.
Poor Mrs. Waldo.
Waldo, Waldo.
Hush, love, hush. I'm widower Waldo now.
Waldo? Waldo!
Yes, our man?
Oh, what'll the neighbours say? What'll the neighbours?
Black as a chimbley. Ringing doorbells.
Raking windows.
Making mud pies.
Stealing currants.
Chalking words.
Saw him in the bushes.
Playing mochins.
Send him to bed without any supper.
Give him cenopods and lock him in the dark.
Off to the reformatory.
Off to the reformatory.
Learn him with a slipper on his BTM.
Waldo! Waldo! What him doing with our matchy?
Give us a kiss, Muddy Richards. Give us a penny, then.
I only got a halfpenny.
Lips is a penny.
Will you take this woman, Matty Richards?
Dulcie Prothero.
Effie Bevan.
Lil the Gluepot.
Mrs. Flusher.
Blodwyn Bowen.
To be your awful wedded wife.
No! No! No!
Now, in her iceberg-white, holily laundered crinoline nightgown and the virtuous polar sheets in her spruced and scoured, dust-defying bedroom in Trig and Trim Bay View, a house for paying guests at the top of the town, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, widow twice of Mr. Ogmore Linoleum, retired, and Mr. Pritchard, failed bookmaker, who, maddened by bezooming, swabbing and scrubbing, the voice of the vacuum cleaner and the fume of polish, ironically swallowed disinfectant, fidgets in her Rin's sleep, wakes in a dream, and nudges in the ribs. Dead, Mr. Ogmore. Dead, Mr. Pritchard. Ghostly on either side.
Mr. Ogmore, Mr. Pritchard, it is time to inhale your balsam.
Oh, Mrs. Ogmore.
Oh, Mrs. Pritchard.
Soon it will be time to get up. Tell me your tasks in order.
I must put my pyjamas in the drawer marked pyjamas.
I must take my cold bath, which is good for me.
I must wear my flannel band to ward off sciatica.
I must dress behind the curtain and put on my apron.
I must blow my nose.
In the garden, if you please.
In a piece of tissue paper, which I afterwards burn.
I must take my salts, which are nature's friends.
I must boil the drinking water because of germs.
I must make my herb tea, which is free from tannin.
And have a charcoal biscuit, which is good for me.
I may smoke one pipe of asthma mixture.
In the woodshed, if you please.
And dust the parlor and spray the canary.
I must put on rubber gloves and search the peak for fleas.
I must dust the blinds and then I must raise them.
And before you let the sun in, mind it wipes its shoes.
In Butcher Bynum's, Gossamer Bynum, daughter, schoolteacher, Dreaming deep, daintily ferrets under a fluttering hammock of chicken's feathers in a slaughterhouse that has chintz curtains and a three-piece suite, and finds, with no surprise, a small, rough, ready man with a bushy tail winking in a paper carrier.
At last, my love.
Sighs Gossamer Bynum, and the bushy tail wags rude and ginger.
Help!
Cries Organ Morgan, the organist in his dream.
There is perturbation and music in Coronation Street. All the spouses are honking like geese and the babies singing opera. P.C. Attila Reese has got his truncheon out and is playing cadenzas by the pump. The cows from Sunday Meadow ring like reindeer, and on the roof of Handel Villa see the women's welfare hoofing bloomered in the moon.
At the sea end of town, Mr. and Mrs. Floyd, the Cocklers, are sleeping as quiet as death, side by wrinkled side, toothless, salt and brown, like two old kippers in a box. And high above, in Salt Lake Farm, Mr. Uta Watkins counts all night the white-faced sheep as they leap the fences on the hill, smiling and knitting and bleating, just like Mrs. Uta Watkins.
34, 35, 36, 48, 89.
Knit one, slip one, knit two together. Pass the slip stitch over.
Ockie Milkman, drowned asleep in Cockle Street, is emptying his churns into the Dewey River.
Regardless of expense.
And weeping like a funeral.
Cherry Owen, next door, lifts a tankard to his lips, but nothing flows out of it. He shakes the tankard. It turns into a fish. He drinks the fish.
P.C. Attila Reese lumps out of bed, dead to the dark and still foghorning, and drags out his helmet from under the bed. But deep in the backyard lockup of his sleep, a mean voice murmurs,
"You'll be sorry for this in the morning."
And he heave-hoes back to bed. His helmet swashes in the dark.
Willy-nilly postman, asleep up street, walks 14 miles to deliver the post, as he does every day of the night. And rat-a-tat's hard and sharp on Mrs. Willy-nilly.
"Don't spank me, please, teacher,"
whimpers his wife at his side. But every night of her married life, she has been late for school.
Sinbad Sailors, over the taproom of the Sailor's Arms, hugs his damp pillow, whose secret name is Gossamer Bynum. A mogul catches Lily Smalls in the washhouse.
"Oh, you old mogul!"
Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May, peels off her pink and white skin in a furnace, in a tower, in a cave, in a waterfall, in a wood, and waits there, raw as an onion, for Mr. Wright to leap up the burning, tall, hollow splashes of leaves like a brilliantine trout.
"Call me Dolores, like they do in the stories."
Alone until she dies, Bessie Bighead, hired help, born in the workhouse, smelling of the cowshed, snores bass and gruff on a couch of straw in a loft in Salt Lake Farm, and picks a posy of daisies in Sunday Meadow to put on the grave of Gomer Owen, who kissed her once by the pigsty when she wasn't looking, and never kissed her again, although she was looking all the time. And the inspectors of cruelty fly down into Mrs. Butcher Bynum's dream to persecute Mr. Bynum for selling
owl meat, dog's eyes, man chop.
Mr. Bynum, in butcher's bloodied apron, spring heels down Coronation Street, a finger not his own in his mouth. Straight-faced in his cunning sleep, he pulls the legs of his dreams and,
hunting on pigback, shoots down the wild giblets.
Help!
My foxy darling.
Now, behind the eyes and secrets of the dreamers in the streets rocked to sleep by the sea, see the
titbits and topsy-turvies, bobs and button-tops, bags and bones, ash and rind and dandruff and nail parings, saliva and snowflake and molted feathers of dreams, the wrecks and sprats and shells and fish-bones, whale juice and moonshine and small salt fry, dished up by the hidden sea.
The owls are hunting. Look, Over Bethesda gravestones, one hoots and swoops and catches a mouse by Hannah Rees, beloved wife. And in Coronation Street, which you alone can see, it is so dark under the chapel in the skies, the Reverend Eli Jenkins, poet, preacher, turns in his deep towards dawn sleep and dreams of...
I still will die.
He intricately rhymes to the music of Cruth and Pibgorn all night long in his druid seedy nighty in a beer tent black with parchs.
Mr. Pugh, schoolmaster, fathoms asleep, pretends to be sleeping, spies Foxy round the droop of his nightcap and, psst, whistles up.
Murder.
Mrs. Organ Morgan, groceress, coiled grey like a dormouse, her paws to her ears, conjures...
Silence.
She sleeps very dulcet in a cove of wool. And trumpeting Organ Morgan at her side, snores no louder than a spider.
Mary Ann Sailor's dreams of...
The Garden of Eden.
She comes in her smock frock and clogs...
Away from the cool, scrubbed, cobbled kitchen, with the Sunday school pictures on the whitewashed wall, and the farmer's almanac hung above the settle, and the sides of bacon on the ceiling hooks, and goes down the cockle-shelled paths of that apple-pie kitchen garden, ducking under the gypos' clothes pegs, catching her apron on the blackcurrant bushes, past bean rose and onion bed and tomatoes ripening on the wall, towards the old man playing the harmonium in the orchard, and sits down on the grass at his side and shells the green peas that grow up through the lap of her frock that brushes the dew.
In Donkey Street, so furred with sleep, Dye Bread, Polly Garter, No Good Boyo, and Lord Cut Glass sigh before the dawn that is about to be and dream of...
Harems.
Babies.
Nothing.
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Time passes. Listen. Time passes. An owl flies home past Bethesda to a chapel in an oak. And the dawn inches up. Stand on this hill. This is Llareggib Hill, old as the hills, high, cool, and green. And from this small circle of stones, made not by druids, but by Mrs. Bynan's Billy, you can see all the town below you sleeping in the first of the dawn. You can hear the lovesick wood pigeons mooning in bed. A dog barks in his sleep, farmyards away. The town ripples like a lake in the waking haze. The principality of the sky lightens now over our green hill into spring morning, larked and crowed and belling. Who pulls the town hall bell rope but blind Captain Cat? One by one, the sleepers are wrung out of sleep this one morning as every morning. And soon you shall see the chimneys slow up-flying snow as Captain Cat, in sailor's cap and sea boots, announces today with his loud get-out-of-bed bell.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins in Bethesda House gropes out of bed into his preacher's black, combs back his bard's white hair, forgets to wash, pads barefoot downstairs, opens the front door, stands in the doorway, and looking out at the day and up at the eternal hill and hearing the sea break and the gab of birds, remembers his own verses and tells them softly to empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds.
Dear Gwalia, I know there are towns lovelier than ours, and fairer hills and loftier far, and groves more full of flowers, and boskier woods more blithe with spring and bright with birds adorning, and sweeter bards than I to sing their praise this beauteous morning. By Cader Idris tempest torn, or Moiler Uithva's glory, Carneth Llewellyn beauty born, Plinlimmon old in story, by mountains where King Arthur dreams, by Penmaen Mawr defiant, a ragged hill, a molehill seems, a pygmy to a giant. By Souther, Senny, Dovey, Dee, Edo, Eden, Aled, all, Taff and Towie, broad and free, Llyfnant with its waterfall, Clairwen, Cleddai, Dilais, Daw, Ely, Gwely, Ogwr, Nedd. Small is our river Dewi, Lord, a baby on a rushy bed. By Carreg Kennen, king of time, our heron head is only a bit of stone with seaweed spread, where gulls come to be lonely. A tiny dingle is Milkwood by Golden Grove neath Gronga. But let me choose, and oh, I should love all my life and longer to stroll among our trees and stray in Guzgog Lane on Donkey Down and hear the Dewi sing all day and never, never leave the town.
The Reverend Jenkins closes the front door. His morning service is over. Now, woken at last by the out-of-bed sleepyhead, Polly put the kettle on town hall bell. Lily Smalls, Mrs. Bynum's treasure, comes downstairs from a dream of royalty who all night long went larking with her, full of sauce in the milkwood dark, and puts the kettle on the primus ring in Mrs. Bynum's kitchen and looks at herself in Mr. Bynum's shaving glass over the sink and sees...
Oh, there's a face. Where you get that hair from? Got it from old Tomcat? Give it back, then, love. Oh, there's a perm. Where you get that nose from, Lily? Got it from my father, silly. You got it on upside down? Oh, there's a conk. Look at your complexion. Oh, no, you look. Needs a bit of makeup. Needs a veil. Oh, there's glamour. Where you get that smile, Lil? Never you mind, girl. Nobody loves you. That's what you think. Who is it loves you? Chantel. Come on, Lily. Cross your heart, then. Cross my heart.
And very softly, her lips almost touching her reflection, she breathes the name and clouds the shaving glass.
Lily?
Yes, ma'am?
Where's my tea, girl?
Where do you think? In the cut box. Coming up, ma'am.
Mr. Pugh, in the schoolhouse opposite, takes up the morning tea to Mrs. Pugh and whispers on the stairs.
Here's your arsenic, dear, and your weed killer biscuit. I've throttled your parakeet, I've spat in the vases, I've put cheese in the mouse holes. Here's your nice tea, dear.
Too much sugar.
You haven't tasted it yet, dear.
Too much milk, then. Has Mr. Jenkins said his poetry?
Yes, dear.
Then it's time to get up. Give me my glasses. No, not my reading glasses. I want to look out. I want to see.
Lily Smalls, the treasure, down on her red knees washing the front step.
She's tucked her dress in a bloomers. Oh, the baggage.
P.C. Attila Rees, ox broad, barge booted, stamping out of handcuff house in a beef red huff. Black-browed under his damp helmet.
He's going to arrest Polly Garter, mark my words.
What for, dear?
For having babies.
And lumbering down towards the strand to see that the sea is still there. Mary Ann the Sailors, opening her bedroom window and above the taproom and calling out to the heavens.
I'm 85 years, 3 months and a day.
I will say this for her. She never makes a mistake.
Organ Morgan at his bedroom window, playing chords on the sill to the morning fishwife gulls who, heckling over Donkey Street, observe...
Me, dye bread, hurry into the bakery, pushing in my shirt tails, buttoning my waistcoat, ping goes a button. Why can't they sew them? No time for breakfast, nothing for breakfast. There's wives for you.
Me, Mrs. Dye Bread One, capped and shawled and all corset. Nice to be comfy. Be nice to be nice. Clogging on the cobbles to stir up a neighbour. Oh, Mrs. Sarah, can you spare a loaf, love? Dye Bread forgot the bread. There's a lovely morning. How's your boils this morning? Isn't that good news now? It's a change to sit down. Ta, Mrs. Sarah.
Me, Mrs. Dyebred, too. Gypsy to kill in a silky scarlet petticoat above my knees. Dirty, pretty knees. See my body through my petticoat, brown as a berry. High heel shoes with one heel missing. Tortoiseshell comb in my bright black slinky hair. Nothing else at all but a dab of scent. Lolling gaudy at the doorway. Tell your fortune in the tea leaves. Scowling at the sunshine, lighting up my pipe.
Me, Lord Cutglass, in an old frock coat belonged to Ellie Jenkins and a pair of postman's trousers from Bethesda Jumble, running out the doors to empty slops. Oh, mind there, Rover. And then running in again. Tick-tock.
Me, a no-good boyo, up to no good in the wash-house.
Me, Miss Price, in my pretty print housecoat, deft at the clothesline, natty as a Jenny Wren. Then pit-pat back to my egg in its cosy, my crisp-toast fingers, my homemade plum and butter pat.
Me, Polly Garter, under the washing line, giving the breast in the garden to my bonny new baby. Nothing grows in our garden, only washing and babies. And where's their fathers live, my love? Over the hills and far away. You're looking up at me now. I know what you're thinking, you poor little milky creature. You're thinking you're no better than you should be, Polly, and that's good enough for me. Oh, isn't life a terrible thing, thank God?
Now frying pans spit, kettles and cats purr in the kitchen. The town smells of seaweed and breakfast all the way down from Bayview, where Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, in smock and turban, big bazoom to engage the dust, picks at her starchless bread and sips lemon-rind tea, to Bottom Cottage, where Mr. Waldo, in bowler and bib, gobbles his bubble and squeak and kippers and swigs from the sauce bottle.
Mary Ann the Sailors.
Praises the Lord who made porridge.
Mr. Pugh.
Remembers ground glass as he juggles his omelette.
Mrs. Pugh.
Nags the salt cellar.
Willy-nilly postman.
Downs his last bucket of black brackish tea and rumbles out bandy to the clucking back where the hens twitch and grieve for their tea-soaked sops.
Mrs. Willy-nilly.
Full of tea to her double-chid brim. Broods and bubbles over her coven of kettles on the hissing hot range, always ready to steam open the mail.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins
finds a rhyme and dips his pen in his cocoa.
Lord Cutglass in his ticking kitchen
scampers from clock to clock, a bunch of clock keys in one hand, a fish head in the other.
Captain Cat in his galley
blind and fine-fingered savours his sea fry.
Mr. and Mrs. Cherry Owen, in their Donkey Street room that is bedroom, parlour, kitchen and scullery, sit down to last night's supper of onions boiled in their overcoats and broth of spuds and bacon rind and leeks and bones.
See that smudge on the wall by the picture of Auntie Blossom? That's where you threw the sago. You only missed me by an inch.
I always miss Auntie Blossom, too.
Remember last night? In you reeled my boy, drunk as a deacon, with a big wet bucket and a fish frail full of stout. And you looked at me and you said, God has come home, you said. And then over the bucket you went, sprawling and bawling, and the floor was all flagons and eels.
Was I wounded?
And then you took off your trousers and you said, does anybody want a fight? Oh, you old baboon.
Give me a kiss.
And then you sang Aberystwyth. Tenor and bass.
I always sing Aberystwyth.
And then you did a little dance on the table.
I did.
Drop dead.
And then what did I do?
Then you cried like a baby and said you were a poor drunk orphan with nowhere to go but the grave.
And what did I do next, my dear?
Then you danced on the table all over again and said you were King Solomon Owen and I was your Mrs. Sheba.
And then?
And then I got you into bed and you snored all night like a brewery.
From Bynan Butcher's in Coronation Street, the smell of fried liver sidles out with onions on its breath. And listen, in the dark breakfast room behind the shop, Mr. and Mrs. Bynan, waited upon by their treasure, enjoy between bites their every morning hullabaloo. and Mrs. Bynum slips the gristly bits under the tasseled tablecloth to her fat cat.
She likes the liver, Ben.
She ought to do, Bess. It's her brother's.
Oh, do you hear that, Lily?
Yes, ma'am.
We're eating Puscat.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you cat butcher.
It was doctored, mind.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Yesterday we had mole.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
Monday, otter. Tuesday, shrews.
Oh, go on, Mrs. Bynum. He's the biggest liar in town.
Don't you dare say that about Mr. Bynum.
Everybody knows it, ma'am.
Mr. Bynum never tells a lie. Do you, Ben?
No, Bess. And now I'm going out after the corgis with my little cleaver.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
Up the street in the Sailor's Arms, Sinbad Sailors, grandson of Mary Ann the Sailors, draws a pint in the sunlit bar. The ship's clock in the bar says 11:30. 11:30 is opening time. The hands of the clock have stayed still at 11:30 for 50 years. It is always opening time in the Sailor's Arms.
Here's to me, Sinbad.
All over the town, babies and old men are cleaned and put into their broken prams and wheeled onto the sunlit cockled cobbles or out into the backyards under the dancing underclothes and left. A baby cries.
I want my pipe when he wants his butter.
Noses are wiped, heads picked, hair combed, paws scrubbed, ears boxed, and the children shrilled off to school. Fishermen grumble to their nets. No Good Boyo goes out in the dinghy Zanzibar, ships the oars, drifts slowly in the dab-filled bay, and lying on his back in the unbaled water among crabs' legs and tangled lines, looks up at the spring sky.
I don't know who's up there, and I don't care.
He turns his head and looks up at Llareggub Hill and sees among green, lathered trees the white houses of the strewn-away farms where farm boys whistle, dogs shout, cows low. But all too far away for him or you to hear. And in the town, the shops squeak open. Mr. Edwards, in butterfly collar and straw hat at the doorway of Manchester House, measures with his eye the dawdlers by for striped flannel shirts and shrouds and flowery blouses, and bellows to himself in the darkness behind his eye,
I love Miss Price.
Syrup is sold in the post office. A car drives to market full of fowls and a farmer. Milk churns stand at Coronation Corner like short, silver policemen. And sitting at the open window of Schooner House, blind Captain Cat hears all the mourning of the town.
Maggie Richards, Ricky Reyes, Tommy Powell. Our Sal, little Gerwin. Billy Swansea with the dog's voice. And Mr. Waldo's. Nasty Humphrey. Jackie with a sniff. Where's Dickie's Albie and the boys from T-Pant? Perhaps they've got the rash again.
Ow!
Oh, somebody's hit Maggie Richards. 2-1, it's Billy Swansea. Never trust a boy who barks. Right again, it's Billy.
And the children's voices cry away.
That's willy-nilly knocking at Bayview. Rat-tat-tat, very soft. The knocker's got a kid glove on. Who sent a letter to Mrs. Ockbar Pritchard? Oh, careful now. She swabs the front glassy. Every step's like a bar of soap. Mind your size, dulces. That old Bessie would beeswax the lawn to make the birds slip.
Morning, Mrs. Ockbar Pritchard.
Good morning, postman.
Here is a letter for you with stamped on address, envelope enclosed, all the way from Bilthwells. A gentleman wants to study birds, and can he have accommodation for 2 weeks and a bath? Vegetarian.
No.
You wouldn't know he was in the house, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard. He'd be out in the mornings at the bang of dawn with his bag of breadcrumbs and his little telescope.
And come home at all hours covered with feathers.
I don't want persons in my nice, clean rooms breathing all over the chairs.
Cross my heart, he won't breathe.
And putting their feet on my carpets and sneezing on my china and sleeping in my sheets.
He only wants a single bed, Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard.
And back she goes to the kitchen to polish the potatoes.
Captain Cat hears willy-nilly's feet heavy on the distant cobbles.
2, 3, 4, 5. That's Mrs. Rose Cottage. What's today? Today she gets a letter from her sister in Gorslas. How's the twins' teeth? Ah, he's stopping at schoolhouse.
Morning, Mrs. Pew. Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard won't have a gentleman in from Bilth Wells because he's sleeping in her sheets. Mrs. Rose Cottage's sister and God's lassie's twins have got to have him out.
Give me the parcel.
It's for Mr. Pew, Mrs. Pew.
Never you mind. What's inside it?
A book called Lives of the Great Poisoners.
That's Manchester House.
Morning, Mr. Edwards.
Morning, willy-nilly.
Very small news. Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard won't have birds in the house. And Mr. Pew's bought a book now on how to do in Mrs. Pew.
Have you got a letter from her?
Miss Price loves you with all her heart. Smelling of lavender today. She's down to the last of the elderflower wine, but the quince jam's bearing up and she's knitting roses on the doilies. Last week, she sold 3 jars of boiled sweets, pound of humbugs, half a box of jelly babies and 6 coloured photos of Tharagib. Yours forever, then 21 X's.
Oh, willy-nilly, she's a ruby. Here's my letter. Put it into her hands now.
Mr. Waldo hurrying to the sailor's arms, pinter stout with a hick in it. Oh, there's a letter for him.
It's another paternity summons, Mr. Waldo.
The quick footsteps hurry on along the cobbles and up 3 steps to the sailor's arms.
Quick, Sinbad, pinter stout, and no egging.
People are moving now, up and down the cobbled street.
All the women are out this morning in the sun. You can tell it's spring. There goes Mrs. Cherry. You can tell her by her trotter. Off she trots, new as a daisy. Who's that talking by the pump? Mrs. Floyd and Boyo talking flatfish. What can you talk about, flatfish? There's Mrs. Dybread, one, waltzing up the street like a jelly. Every time she shakes, it's slap, slap, slap. Who's that? Mrs. Butcher Bingham with her pet black cat. It follows her everywhere, meow and all. Ah, there goes Mrs. 23, important. The sun gets up and goes down in her dewlap. When she shuts her eyes, it's night. High heels now, in the morning too. Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May. 17 and never been kissed. Going young and milking under my window to the field with the nanny goods. She reminds me all the way. Can't hear what the women are gapping round the pump. Same as ever. Who's having a baby? Who blacked whose eye? Seen Polly Garter giving her belly an airing? There should be a law. Seen Mrs. Bainon's new mauve jumper? It's her old grey jumper died. Who's dead? Who's dying? There's a lovely day. Oh, the cost of soap flakes. Morgan, Morgan's at it early. You can tell it's spring.
And he hears the noise of milk cans.
Mocky milkman on his round. I will say this, his milk's as fresh as the dew. Half dew it is. Snuffle on, Nocky, water in the town. Somebody's coming. Now the voices round the pump can see somebody come in. Hush. It's hush. You can tell by the noise of the hush it's Polly Garter. Hello, Polly. Who's there?
Me, love.
That's Polly Garter. Hello, Polly, my love. Can you hear the dumb gooses of the wives as they huddle and peck or flounce at a waddle away? Who cuddled you when? Which of their gandering huppies moaned in milk wood for your naughty mothering arms and body like a wardrobe, love? Scrub the floors of the welfare hall for the Mother's Union social dance. Your one mother won't wriggle her roly-poly bum or pat her fat little buttery foot in that wedding-ringed holy tonight. Or the waltzing breadwinner snatched from the cosy smoke of the sailor's arms will grizzle and mope. Too late, cock. Too late.
For the town's half over with its morning. The morning's busy as bees.
There's the clip-clop of horses on the sun-honeyed cobbles of the humming streets, hammering of horseshoes, gobble, quack and cackle, tom-tit-twitter from the bird-ounce boughs, braying on donkey down. Bread is baking, pigs are grunting, chop goes the butcher, milk churns, bell, tills ring, sheep cough, dogs shout, saws sing. Oh, the spring whinny and morning move from the clogged dancing farms, the gulls gab and rabble on the boat-bobbing river and sea, and the cockles bubbling in the sand, scamper of sunderlings, curlew cry, crow caw, pigeon coo, clock strike, bull bellow, and the ragged gabble of the bear garden school as the women scratch and babble in Mrs. Organ Morgan's general shop where everything is sold. Custard, buckets, henna, rat trap, shrimp net, sugar, stamps, confetti, paraffin, hatchets, whistles.
Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard.
La-di-da.
Got a man in Bilthwells.
And he got a little telescope to look at birds.
Willy-nilly said.
Remember her first husband? He didn't need a telescope.
He looked at them undressing through the keyhole.
And he used to shout tally-ho.
But Mr. Ogmore was a proper gentleman.
Even though he hanged his collie. Seen Mrs. Butcher Bynum?
She said Butcher Bynum put dogs in them inside.
Go on, he's pulling a leg. Now, won't you dare tell her that, there's a dear.
Or she'll think he's trying to pull it off and eat it.
There's a nasty lot live here when you come to think of it.
Look at that no-good boy, oh, now.
Too lazy to wipe his snout. And going out fishing every day. And all he ever brought back was a Mrs. Samuels.
Been in the water a week.
And look at Ocky Milkman's wife that nobody's ever seen.
He keeps her in the cupboard with the empties.
And think of Di Bread with two wives.
One for the daytime. One for the night. Men are brutes on the quiet.
And how's Organ Morgan, Mrs. Morgan?
You look dead beat.
It's organ all the time with him.
Up every night until midnight playing the organ.
Oh, I'm a martyr to music.
Outside, the sun springs down on the rough and tumbling town. It runs through the hedges of Goosegog Lane, cuffing the birds to sing. Spring whips green down Cockle Row, and the shells ring out. Claregib, this snip of a morning is wild fruit and warm. The streets, fields, sands and waters springing in the young sun.
Evans the Death presses hard with black gloves on the coffin of his breast in case his heart jumps out.
Where's your dignity? Lie down.
Spring stirs Gossamer Bynum, schoolmistress, like a spoon.
Oh, what can I do? I'll never be refined if I twitch.
Spring, this strong morning, foams in a flame in Jack Black as he cobbles a high-heeled shoe for Mrs. Dybread to the gypsy. But he hammers it sternly out.
There is no leg belonging to the foot that belongs to this shoe.
The sun and the green breeze ship Captain Cat sea memory again.
No, I'll take the mulatto. By God, who's captain here? Arlez-vous, jig jig, madame?
Mary Ann Sailors says very softly to herself as she looks out at Claregib Hill from the bedroom where she was born.
It is spring in Claregib, in the sun in my old age, and this is the chosen land.
And in willy-nilly the postman's dark and sizzling, damp, tea-coated, misty, pigmy kitchen, where the spitting cat kettles throb and hop on the range, Mrs. Willy-Nilly steams open Mr. Mog Edwards' letter to Miss Mavanoy Price and reads it aloud to Willy-Nilly by the squint of the spring sun through the one-sealed window running with tears, while the drugged, bedraggled hens at the back door whimper and snivel for the licorice bog-black tea.
From Manchester House, Claregib. Sole prop, Mr. Mog Edwards, late of Tush, Linda Draper, haberdasher, master, tailor, costumer. A West End negligee, lingerie, tea gowns, evening dress, trousseaux, layettes. Also, ready to wear for all occasions. Economical outfitting for agricultural employment, our speciality. Wardrobe sport. Among our satisfied customers, ministers of religion and JPs. Fittings by appointment. Advertising weekly in the Tush Bugle. Beloved Mavanoi Price, my bride in heaven.
I love you until death do us part, and then we shall be together forever and ever. A new parcel of ribbons has come from Carmarthen today, all the colours in the rainbow. Oh, I wish I could tie a ribbon in your hair, a white one, but it cannot be. I dreamed last night you were all dripping wet, and you sat on my lap as the Reverend Jenkins went down the street. I see you got a mermaid in your lap, he said, and he lifted his hat. Oh, he's a proper Christian. Not like Cherry Owen, who said you should have thrown her back, he said. Business is very poorly. Polly Garter bought 2 garters with roses, but she never got stockings, so what's the use, I say? Mr. Waldo tried to sell me a woman's nighty, outsize. He said he found it, and we know where. I sold a packet of pins to Tom the Sailors to pick his teeth. If this goes on, I shall be in the poorhouse. My heart is in your bosom, and yours is in mine. God be with you always, Mavanoy Price, and keep you lovely for me in his heavenly mansion. I must stop now and remain your eternal Morg Edwards.
And then a little message with a rubber stamp. Shop at Morg's.
And willy-nilly, rumbling, jockeys out again to the 3-seated shack called the House of Commons in the back where the hens weep, and sees, in sudden spring sunshine, herring gulls heckling down to the harbour where the fishermen spit and prop the morning up, and eye the fishy sea smooth to the sea's end as it lulls in blue. Green and gold money, tobacco, tin salmon, hats with feathers, pots of fish paste, warmth for the winter to be. Weave and leap in it, rich and slippery in the flash and shapes of fishes, through the cold sea streets. But with blue, lazy eyes, the fishermen gaze at that milkmaid whispering water with no ruck or ripple, as though it blew great guns and serpents and typhooned the town.
Too rough for fishing today.
And they thank God and gob at a gull for luck. And moss slow and silent make their way uphill from the still, still sea towards the sailors' arms. As the children spank and scamper rough and singing out of school into the draggletail yard. And Captain Cat at his window says soft to himself the words of their song.
Jenny Crack and Flossie Snail kept their baby in a milking pail. Flossie Snail and Johnny Crack, one would pull it out and one would put it back. But fighter now said Flossie Snail, to take the baby from the milking pail. And it's my turn now, said Johnny Crack, to smack it on the head and put it back. Johnny Crack and Flossie Snail kept their baby in a milking pail. One would put it back and one would pull it out, and all it had to drink was ale and stout. For Johnny Crack and Flossie Snail, all it is to say, the South and Ale was good for a baby in a milking pail.
The music of the spheres is heard distinctly over Milkwood. It is the rustle of spring. A glee party sings in Bethesda Graveyard, gay but muffled.
Vegetables make love above the tenors.
And the dogs bark blue in the face.
Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard belches in a teeny hanky and chases the sunlight with a fly whisk. But even she cannot drive out the spring. From one of the finger bowls, a primrose grows.
Mrs. Dybread 1 and Mrs. Dybread 2 are sitting outside their house in Donkey Lane, one darkly, one plumply blooming in the quick, dewy sun. Mrs. Dybread, too, is looking into a crystal ball, which she holds in the lap of her dirty yellow petticoat, hard against her hard, dark thighs.
Cross my palm with silver.
out of our housekeeping money.
Oh. What do you see, Levy?
I see a feather bed with three pillows on it and a text above the bed. I can't read what it says. There's great clouds blowing. Now they have blown away. God is love, the text says.
That's our bed!
And now it's vanished. The sun spinning like a top. Who's this coming out of the sun? It's a hairy little man with big pink lips. He got a wall eye.
It's Di! It's Di Bread!
Shh! The feather bed's floating back. The little man's taking his boots off. He's pulling his shirt over his head.
Yes.
He's beating his chest with his fists.
Yes, yes.
And he's climbing into bed.
Oh, go on, go on.
There's two women in bed.
Oh.
He looks at them both with his head cocked on one side.
Yes.
He's whistling through his teeth. Now he grips his little arms round one of the women.
Which one? Which one?
I can't see any more. There's great clouds blowing again.
Ach, the mean old clouds.
The morning is all singing. The Reverend Eli Jenkins, busy on his morning calls, stops outside the welfare hall to hear Polly Garter as she scrubs the floors for the Mother's Union dance tonight.
A man whose name was Tom. He was strong as a bear and 2 yards long. I loved a man whose name was Dick. He was big as a barrel and 2 feet thick. And I loved a man whose name was Harry. 6 feet tall and sweet as a cherry, but the one I loved best, awake or asleep, was little Willie Wee, and he's 6 feet deep. Oh, Tom, Dick, and Harry were three fine men, and I'll never have such loving again, but little Willie Wee, who took me on his knee. Little Willie Weasel was the man for me. Mm-hmm. Now men from every parish round run after me and roll me on the ground, but whenever I love another man back, Johnny from the hill, or Sailing Jack, I always think, as they do what they please, of Tom, Dick, and Harry, who were tall as trees. But most I think, when I'm by their side, of little Willie Wee, who drowned and died. Oh, Tom, Dick, and Harry were three fine men, and I'll never have such loving again. But little Willie Wee, who took me on his knee, little Willie Weasel is the man for me.
Praise the Lord, we are a musical nation.
And the Reverend Eli Jenkins hurries on through the town to visit the sick with jelly and poems.
The town's as full as a lovebird's egg.
There goes the Reverend,
says Mr. Waldo at the smoked herring-brown window of the unwashed sailor's arms.
With his brolly and his odes. Fill them up, Sinbad. I'm on the treacle today.
The silent fishermen flush down their pints.
Oh, Mr. Waldo,
sighs Sinbad sailors.
I dote on that gossamer Bynan. She's a lady all over.
And Mr. Waldo, who is thinking of a woman soft as Eve and sharp as sciatica to share his bread-pudding bed, answers,
no lady that I know is.
And if only Grandma die, cross my heart, I'd go down on my knees, Mr. Waldo, and I'd say, Miss Gossamer, I'd say.
Polly Garter sings, still on her knees.
Tom, Dick and Harry were three fine men, and I'll never have such again.
And the morning school is over, and Captain Cat, at his curtained schooner's porthole open to the spring sun tides, hears the naughty, forfeiting children tumble and rhyme on the cobbles.
When he got the boys, they made such a noise.
Boys, 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 come along to me.
Boys, 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 kiss Gwenny where she says, or give her a penny. Go on, Gwenny.
Kiss me in Goose Cock Lane, or give me a penny. What's your name?
Billy.
Kiss me in Goose Cock Lane, Billy, or give me a penny, silly.
Gwenny, Gwenny, I kiss you in Goose Cock Lane. Now I haven't got to give you a penny.
Boys, 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 kiss Gwenny where she says, I'll give her a penny. Go on, Gwenny.
Kiss me on Llareggip Hill, I'll give me a penny. What's your name?
Johnny Crystal.
Kiss me on Llareggip Hill, Johnny Crystal, or give me a penny, mister.
Gwenny, Gwenny, I kiss you on Llareggip Hill. Now I haven't got to give you a penny.
Boys, 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 kiss Gwenny where she says, or give her a penny. Go on, Gwenny.
Kiss me in me. Give me a penny. What's your name?
Dickie.
Kiss me in Milkwood, Dickie. Oh, give me a penny quickly.
Gwenny, Gwenny, I can't kiss you in Milkwood.
Gwenny, ask him why.
Why?
Because my mother says I mustn't.
Cowdy, cowdy, custard, give Gwenny a penny.
Give me a penny.
I haven't got any.
Put him in the river, up to his liver. Quick, quick, don't you dick, beat him on the bug.
And the shrill girls giggle and muster around him and squeal as they clutch and thrash. And he blubbers away downhill with his patched pants falling and his tear-splashed blush burns all the way as the triumphant bird-like sisters scream with buttons in their claws. And the bully brothers hoot after him his little nickname and his mother's shame and his father's wickedness with the loose, wild, barefoot women of the hovels of the hills. It all means nothing at all. And howling for his milky mum, for her cowl and buttermilk and cow breath and Welsh cakes and the fat, birth-smelling bed and moonlit kitchen of her arms, he'll never forget as he paddles blind home through the weeping end of the world. Then his tormentors tussle and run to the Cockle Street sweet shop, their pennies sticky as honey, to buy from Miss Mavanui Price, who is cocky and neat as a puff-bosomed robin, and her small round buttocks tight as ticks, gobstoppers big as wens that rainbow as you suck, brandy balls, wine gums, hundreds and thousands, licorice sweet as sick, nugget to tug and ribbon out like another red rubbery tongue, gum to glue in girls' curls, crimson cough drops to spit blood, ice cream cornets, dandelion and burdock, raspberry and sherryade, pop goes the weasel and the wind.
Gossamer Bynan, high heels out of school. The sun hums down through the cotton flowers of her dress into the bell of her heart and buzzes in the honey there and couches and kisses, lazy, loving and boozed in her red-berried breast. She blazes naked past the sailor's arms, the only woman on the dye-adamed earth. Sinbad Sailors places on her thighs, still dew-damp from the first man-growing cockcrow garden, his reverent goat-bearded hands.
I don't care if he is common,
she whispers to her salad day deep self.
I want to gobble him up. I don't care if he does drop his H's.
She tells the stripped and mother of the world, big-beamed and eve-hipped spring of herself.
So long as he's all cucumber and hooves.
Sinbad Sailors watches her go by, demure and proud and schoolmarm in her crisp flower dress and sun-defying hat, with never a look or lilt or wriggle. The butcher's unmelting ice-maiden daughter, veiled forever from the hungry hug of his eyes.
Oh, gossamer Bynan, why are you so proud?
He grieves to his Guinness.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful gossamer bee. I wish that you were for me. I wish you were not so educated.
She feels his goat beard tickle her in the middle of the world like a tuft of wiry fire, and she turns in a terror of delight away from his whips and whiskery conflagration and sits in the kitchen to a plate heaped high with chips and the kidneys of lambs.
In the blind-drawn, dark dining-room of schoolhouse, dusty and echoing as a dining-room in a vault, Mr. and Mrs. Pugh are silent over cold, grey cottage pie. Mr. Pugh reads, as he forks the shroud meat in, from Lives of the Great Poisoners. He has bound a plain brown paper cover round the book. Slyly, between slow mouthfuls, he side-spies up at Mrs. Pugh, poisons her with his eye, then goes on reading. He underlines certain passages and smiles in secret.
Persons with manners do not read at table,
says Mrs. Pugh. She swallows a digestive tablet as big as a horse pill, washing it down with clouded pea soup water.
Some persons were brought up in pigsties.
Pigs don't read at table, dear.
Bitterly she flicks dust from the broken cruet. It settles on the pie in a thin, gnat rain.
Pigs can't read, my dear.
I know one who can.
Alone in the hissing laboratory of his wishes, Mr. Pugh minces among bad vats and Jeroboams, tiptoes through spinneys of murdering herbs, agony dancing in his crucibles, and mixes, especially for Mrs. Pugh, a venomous porridge unknown to toxicologists, which will scald and viper through her until her ears fall off like figs, her toes grow big and black as balloons, and steam comes screaming out of her navel.
You know best, dear,
says Mr. Pugh, and quick as a flash, he ducks her in rat soup.
What's that book by your trough, Mr. Pugh?
It's a theological work, my dear, Lives of the Great Saints.
Mrs. Pugh smiles. An icicle forms in the cold air of the dining vault.
I saw you talking to a saint this morning, Saint Polygata. She was martyred again last night. Mrs. Organ Morgan saw her with Mr. Waldo.
And when they saw me, they pretended they were looking for nests,
said Mrs. Organ Morgan to her husband, with her mouth full of fish as a pelican's.
But you don't go nesting in long combinations, I said to myself, like Mr. Waldo was wearing, and you're dressed nearly over your head like Polygata's. Oh, they couldn't fool me.
One big bird gulp, and the flounder's gone. She licks her lips and goes stabbing again.
And when you think of all those babies she's got, then all I can say is she'd better give up bird nesting, that's all I can say. It isn't the right kind of hobby at all for a woman that can't say no even to midgets. Remember Bob Spit? He wasn't any bigger than a baby, and he gave her two. But they're two nice boys, I will say that, Fred Spit and Arthur. Sometimes I like Fred best, and sometimes I like Arthur. Who do you like best, Organ?
Oh, Bach, without any doubt. Bach every time for me.
Organ, Morgan, you haven't been listening to a word I said. Hmm? It's organ, organ, all the time with you.
And she bursts into tears. And in the middle of her salty howling, nimbly spears a small flatfish and pelicans it whole.
And then Palestrina,
says Organ, Morgan. Lord Cutglass, in his kitchen full of time, squats down alone to a dog dish marked Fido of peppery fish scraps and listens to the voices of his 66 clocks, one for each year of his loony age, and watches with love their black and white, moony, loud-lipped faces talking the earth away. Slow clocks, quick clocks, pendulumed heart knocks, china, alarm, grandfather, cuckoo, clocks shaped like Noah's whirring ark, clocks that bicker in marble ships, clocks in the wombs of glass women, hourglass chimers, to-wit-to-woo clocks, clocks that pluck tunes, Vesuvius clocks, all black bells and lava, Niagara clocks that cataract their ticks, old time-weeping clocks with ebony beards, clocks with no hands forever drumming out time without ever knowing what time it is. His 66 singers are all set at different hours. Lord Cutglass lives in a house and a life at siege. Any minute or dark day now, the unknown enemy will loot and savage downhill. But they will not catch him napping. 66 different times in his fish-slimy kitchen. Ping, strike, tick, chime, and tock. The lust and lilt and lather and emerald breeze and crackle of the bird praise and body of spring, with its breasts full of rivering May milk, means to that lordly fish-head nibbler nothing but another nearness to the tribes and navies of the last black day, who will sear and pillage down Armageddon Hill to his double-locked, rusty-shuttered, tick-tock, dust-scrabbled shack at the bottom of the town that has fallen head over bells in love.
And I'll never have such loving again.
Pretty Polly hums and longs.
Now when farmers' boys on the first fair day come down from the hills to drink and be gay, before the sun sinks, I'll lie there in their arms. For they're good, bad boys from the lonely farms. But I always think, as we tumble into bed, of little Willie Wee, who is dead, dead, dead.
The sunny, slow, lulling afternoon yawns and moons through the dozy town. The sea lolls, laps, and idles in with fishes sleeping in its lap. The meadows, still a Sunday, the shut-eye tasseled bulls, the goat and daisy dingles nap happy and lazy. The dumb duck ponds snooze. Clouds sag and pillow on Llareggub Hill. Pigs grunt in a wet wallow bath and smile as they snort and dream. They dream of the acorn swill of the world, the rooting for pig fruit, the bagpipe dugs of the mother sow, the squeal and snuffle of yeses of the women pigs in rut. They mud bask and snout in the pig-loving sun, their tails curl. They rollick and slobber and snore to deep, smug, after-swill sleep. Donkeys angelically drowse on donkey down.
Persons with manners,
snaps Mrs. Cole Pew.
Do not nod the table.
Mr. Pew cringes awake. He puts on a soft, soaping smile. It is sad and grey under his nicotine, egg-yellow, weeping, walrus, Victorian moustache, worn thick and long, in memory of Dr. Crippen.
You should wait until you retire to your sty,
says Mrs. Pew, sweet as a razor. His fawning, measly quarter-smile freezes. Sly and silent, he foxes into his chemist's den, and there, in a hiss and prussic circle of cauldrons and phials brimful with pox and the black death, cooks up a fricassee of deadly nightshade, nicotine, hot frog, cyanide and bat-spit for his needling, stalactite hag and bed-nag of a poker-backed nutcracker wife.
I beg your pardon, my dear,
he murmurs with a wheedle. Captain Cat, at his window thrown wide to the sun,
and the clippered seas he sailed long ago when his eyes were blue and bright. Slumbers and voyages, ear-ringed and rolling, I love you, Rosy Probert, tattooed on his belly. He brawls with broken bottles in the fug and babel of the dark dock bars, roves with a herd of short and good-time cows in every naughty port, and twines and souses with the drowned and blowsy-breasted dead. He weeps as he sleeps and sails. One voice of all he remembers most dearly as his dream buckets down. Lazy early Rosie with the flaxen thatch, whom he shared with Tom Fred the donkey man and many another seaman. Clearly and near to him speaks from the bedroom of her dust. In that gulf and haven, fleets by the dozen have anchored for the little heaven of the night. But she speaks to Captain Napping Cat alone. Mrs. Probert.
From Duck Lane, Jack. Quack twice and ask for Rosie.
Is the one love of his sea life that was sardined with women.
What seas did you see, Tomcat, Tomcat, in your sailoring days, long, long ago? What sea beasts were in the wavery green when you were my master?
I'll tell you the truth. Seas barking like seals, blue seas and green seas covered with eels and mermen and whales.
What seas did you sail, old whaler, when on the blubbery waves between Frisco and Wales you are my bosun?
As true as I'm here, dear you tomcat start, you landlubber Rosie, you cozy love, my easy as easy, my true sweetheart. Seas green as a bean, seas gliding with swans in the seal-barking moon.
What seas were rocking, my little deckhand, my favorite husband, in your sea boots and hunger, my duck, my whaler? My honey, my daddy, my pretty sugar sailor, with my name on your belly, when you were a boy, long, long ago.
I'll tell you no lies. The only sea I saw was the seesaw sea with you riding on it. Lie down, lie easy. Let me shipwreck in your thighs.
Knock twice, Jack, at the door of my grave, and ask for Rosie.
Rosie Probert.
Remember her. She is forgetting. The earth which filled her mouth is vanishing from her. Remember me. I have forgotten you. I am going into the darkness of the darkness forever. I have forgotten that I was ever born.
Look,
says a child to her mother as they pass by the window of Schooner House.
Captain Cat is crying.
Captain Cat is crying.
Come back. Come back.
Up the silences and echoes of the passages of the eternal night.
He's crying all over his nose,
says the child. Mother and child move on down the street.
He's got a nose like strawberries,
the child says, and then she forgets him too. She sees in the still middle of the Blue Bag Bay no good boyo fishing from the Zanzibar.
No good boyo gave me 3 pennies yesterday, but I wouldn't.
The child tells her mother.
Boyo catches a whalebone corset. It's all he has caught all day.
Bloody funny fish.
Mrs. Dyebread, too, gypsies up in his mind's slow eye, dressed only in a bangle.
She's wearing a nightgown. Would you like this nice wet corset, Mrs. Dyebread, too?
No, I won't.
And a bite of my little apple?
He offers with no hope.
She shakes her brass nightgown, and he chases her out of his mind. And when he comes gusting back,
There in the bloodshot center of his eye, a geisha girl grins and bows in a kimono of rice paper.
I want to be good, boyo, but nobody let me.
He sighs as she writhes politely. The land fades, the sea flocks silently away, and through the warm white cloud where he lies, silky, tingling, uneasy Eastern music undoes him in a Japanese minute.
The afternoon buzzes like lazy bees round the flowers round May Rose Cottage. Nearly asleep in the field of nanny goats who hum and gently butt the sun, she blows love on a puffball.
He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me, the dirty old fool.
Lazy, she lies alone in clover and sweet grass. 17 and never been sweet in the grass. Ho, ho.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins, inky in his cool front parlour or poem room, tells only the truth in his life work. The population, main industry, shipping, history, topography, flora and fauna of the town he worships in. The White Book of Llareggub. Portraits of famous bards and preachers, all fur and wool from the squint to the kneecaps, hang over him heavy as sheep, next to faint lady watercolours of pale green milkwood, like a lettuce salad, dying. His mother, propped against a pot in a palm with her wedding ring waist and bust like a black cloth dining table, suffers in her stays.
Oh, angels, be careful there with your knives and forks,
he prays. There is no known likeness of his father, Esau, who, undog-collared because of his little weakness, was scythed to the bone one harvest by mistake when sleeping with his weakness in the corn. He lost all ambition and died with one leg.
Poor dad,
grieved the Reverend Eli,
to die of drink and agriculture.
Farmer Watkins in Salt Lake Farm hates his cattle on the hill as he hoes them in to milking.
Damn you, you damn dairies!
A cow kisses him.
Bite her to death!
He shouts to his deaf dog, who smiles and licks his hands.
Gore him! Sit on him, Daisy!
He bawls to the cow, who barbed him with her tongue. And she moos gentle words as he raves and dances among his summer-breathed slaves, walking delicately to the farm. The coming of the end of the spring day is already reflected in the lakes of their great eyes. Bessie Bighead greets them by the name she gave them when they were maidens.
Meg. Meg. Buttercup. Moll. Fan from the castle. Theodosia and Daisy.
They bow their heads.
Look up Bessie Bighead in the White Book of Llareggub, and you will find the few haggard rags and the one poor glittering thread of her history laid out in pages there with as much love and care as the lock of hair of a first lost love. Conceived in milk wood, born in a barn, wrapped in paper, left on a doorstep, big-headed and bass-voiced, she grew in the dark until long-dead Gomer Owen kissed her when she wasn't looking, because he was dead. Now in the light, she'll work, sing, milk, say the cow's sweet names, and sleep until the night sucks out her soul and spits it into the sky. In her lifelong love light, holily Bessie milks the fond lake-eyed cows as dusk showers slowly down over byre, sea, and town. Uta Watkins curses through the farmyard on a cart
horse. Gallop, you bleeding cripple!
And the huge horse neighs softly, as though he had given it a lump of sugar. Now the town is dusk. Each cobble, donkey, goose, and gooseberry street is a thoroughfare of dusk. And dusk, and ceremonial dust, and night's first darkening snow, and the sleep of birds, drift under and through the live dusk of this place of love. Llareggub is the capital of dusk.
Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, at the first drop of the dusk shower, seals all her sea-view doors, draws the germ-free blinds, sits erect as a dry dream on a high-backed hygienic chair, and wills herself to cold, quick sleep. At once, at twice, Mr. Ogmore and Mr. Pritchard, who all dead day long have been gossiping like ghosts in the woodshed, planning the loveless destruction of their glass widow, reluctantly sigh and sidle into her clean house.
You first, Mr. Ogmore.
After you, Mr. Pritchard.
No, Mr. Ogmore, you widowed her first.
And in through the keyhole, with tears where their eyes once were, they ooze and grumble.
Husbands,
she says in her sleep. There is acid love in her voice for one of the two shambling phantoms. Mr. Ogmore hopes that it is not for him. So does Mr. Pritchard.
I love you both. Oh, Mrs. Ogmore.
Oh, Mrs. Pritchard.
Soon it will be time to go to bed. Tell me your tasks in order.
We must take our pajamas from the drawer marked pajamas.
And then you must take them off.
Down in the dusking town, Mayrose Cottage, still lying in clover, listens to the nanny goats chew.
I'm fast. I'm a bad lot. God will strike me dead. I'm 17. I'll go to hell,
she tells the goats.
You just wait. I'll sin till I blow up.
She lies deep, waiting for the worst to happen. The goats champ and sneer. And at the doorway of Bethesda House, the Reverend Jenkins recites to Llareggeb Hill his sunset poem.
Every morning when I wake, dear Lord, a little prayer I make. Oh, please to keep thy lovely eye on all poor creatures born to die. And every evening at sundown I ask a blessing on the town. For whether we last the night or no, I'm sure is always touch and go. We are not wholly bad or good who live our lives under Milkwood. And thou, I know, wilt be the first to see our best side, not our worst. Oh, let us see another day. Bless us this night, I pray. And to the sun we all will bow and say goodbye, but just for now.
Jack Black prepares once more to meet his Satan in the wood. He grinds his night teeth, closes his eyes, climbs into his religious trousers, their flies sewn up with cobbler's thread, and pads out, torched and bibled, grimly, joyfully, into the already sinning dusk.
Off! For Gomorrah!
And Lily Smalls is up to no good boyo in the wash house. And Cherry Owen, sober as Sunday as he is every day of the week, goes off happy as Saturday to get drunk as a deacon as he does every night.
I always say she's got two husbands,
says Cherry Owen.
One drunk and one sober.
And Mrs. Cherry simply says,
and aren't I a lucky woman because I love them both.
Evening, Cherry.
Evening, Sinbad.
What'll you have?
Too much.
The sailor's arms is always open.
Sinbad suffers to himself, heartbroken.
Oh, gossamer, open he was.
Dusk is drowned forever until tomorrow. It is all at once night now. The windy town is a hill of windows, and from the larruped waves, the lights of the lamps in the windows call back the day and the dead that have run away to sea. All over the calling dark, babies and old men are bribed and lullaby to sleep.
Hush-a-bye, baby, the Sandman is coming.
Or their daughters cover up the old unwinking men like parrots, and in their little dark, in the lit and bustling young kitchen corners, all night long they watch, beady-eyed, the long night through, in case death catches them asleep. Unmarried girls, alone in their privately bridal bedrooms, powder and curl for the dance of the world. They make, in front of their looking glasses,
haughty or come-hithering faces for the young men in the street outside, at the lamplit leaning corners, who wait in the all-at-once wind to wolve and whistle. The drinkers in the Sailor's Arms drink to the failure of the dance.
Down with the waltzing and skipping.
Dancing is natural.
Righteously says Cherry Owen, who has just downed 17 pints of flat, warm, thin Welsh bitter beer.
A farmer's lantern glimmers, a spark on Llareggub hillside.
Llareggub Hill, writes the Reverend Jenkins in his poem room.
Llareggub Hill, that mystic tumulus, the memorial of peoples that dwelt in the region of Llareggub before the Celts left the land of summer, and where the old wizards made themselves a wife out of flowers.
Blind Captain Cat climbs into his bunk. Like a cat, he sees in the dark. Through the voyages of his tears, he sails to see the dead.
Dancing, William.
Still dancing.
Jonah Jarvis.
Still.
Curly Bevan Skull.
Rosy with God. She has forgotten dying.
The dead come out in their Sunday best.
Listen to the night breaking.
Organ Morgan goes to chapel to play the organ. He sees Bach lying on a tombstone.
Johann Sebastian.
Oh?
Johann Sebastian, mighty Bach. Oh, Bach, Bach.
Oh, the hell with you.
Says Cherry Owen, who is resting on the tombstone on his way home. Mr. Mog Edwards and Miss Mavanu Price, happily apart from one another at the top and the sea end of the town, write their every night letters of love and desire. In the warm, white book of Llareggub, you will find the little maps of the islands of their contentment.
Oh, my Mog, I am yours forever.
And she looks round with pleasure at her own neat, never dull room, which Mr. Mog Edwards will never enter.
Come to my arms, Mavanlui.
And he hugs his lovely money to his own heart. And Mr. Waldo, drunk in the dusky wood, hugs his lovely Polly Garter under the eyes and rattling tongues of the neighbors and the birds. And he does not care. He smacks his live red lips. But it is not his name that Polly Garter whispers as she lies under the oak and loves him back. 6 feet deep, that name sings in the cold earth.
But I always think, as we tumble into bed, of little Willie Wee, who is dead, dead, dead.
The thin night darkens. A breeze from the creased water sighs the streets close under milk-waking wood. The wood, whose every tree-foot's cloven in the black, glad sight of the hunters of lovers, that is a God-built garden to Mary Ann the sailors who knows there is heaven on earth and the chosen people of his kind fire in Llareggub's land. That is the fair-day farm-hands, wantoning, ignorant chapel of bridesbeds, and to the Reverend L.I. Jenkins, a green-leaved sermon on the innocence of men. Suddenly, wind-shaken wood springs awake for the second dark time this one spring day.